Going to read God's Word, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 24. Acts chapter 24, and we will break into the chapter and verse number 10. Study tonight. It's chapter 24 and the verse number 10. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Then Paul, after the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, "For so much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither rising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offence toward God and toward men. Now after many years I come to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before thee, and object if they had aught against me. Or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day." And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, "When Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter." And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul, and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul, and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that they might loose him, wherefore he sent for him the oftener, and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came unto Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. There at the end of reading of God's precious word, and we do certainly know that the Lord will bless us in an inerrant and an inspired word. We'll turn back to the passage for our study tonight in Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, and our text for this evening is the verse number 25. Verse number 25. We'll read it, and then we'll pray. Verse 25. And obviously, this is Paul before Felix and Drusilla, as the verse 24 has stated. And this is the message that he presented to Felix And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. The word of God open, we'll seek the Lord's face in prayer for his time around God's word. Our Father, we praise thee, Lord, for another time when we can seek thy face. We do praise thee and for this time that when we can have the open book, Lord, it's without hindrance, Lord, that we preach it. We thank the Lord that we have an open door for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in our country. We pray, Lord, that it will always be preserved. We pray, Lord, that we will always be faithful to the word of God. That, Lord, that we will not deviate from it, Lord. That you will keep our denomination faithful to the word of God. Raise up men and women that will bring the message of the gospel to a lost world. We pray, Father, that you will come. Even in our midst, we ask of thee now for this time around God's word. We pray, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that welcome in our midst. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt cleanse us with the precious blood. And Lord, that wilt shut us in with God. Fill this weakened vessel with the power of the Holy Ghost. Use me, we pray, for the glory of the extension of Christ's kingdom. Draw sinners to thyself. Build up thy people. May you go home rejoicing for what Christ has done for us. And even for what's even a sinner coming to repentance, and even not even restricted to one, there will be many come to faith in me. Pray these things for the glory of Christ. Amen and amen. From the latter part of chapter 21, and the end of the Acts of the Apostles, we find that Paul was a prisoner. It is in that chapter 21 we find the Jews had laid hold upon the apostle, and they had laid him up, Paul, in the temple of Jerusalem. And then the Jews were about to kill him. About to kill him, put him to death. It was the chief captain, just as they were about to do that, the chief captain and his Roman soldiers came to his rescue. The Lord had preserved his life at that point. And chapter 22 records that his testimony to the Jews before him taking him into prison. It was ordered that he should be questioned by scourging. Probably no doubt that he would have been whipped and beaten so much that they would have attempted to do that. And only for Paul pleading for his privilege of being a Roman citizen was he exempt from such barbarous treatment. In chapter 23, he is brought before the Jewish council. And there arose a conspiracy among a number of the Jews who vowed to kill Paul. And this attempt was certainly greatly foiled when his nephew had heard of this and informed him. The message was told to the chief captain of the Roman army, and who had sent Paul away immediately under strong guard to Caesarea for his safety. Through the preserving hand, we can see that God had much more for Paul to do. There was a job for him to do. In the chapter which we have read, in chapter 24, we find that Paul is on trial before Felix, the governor of Judea. And Tertullus brings accusations against him. And in verse 5, he accuses him of being a troublemaker. He accuses him of all sorts of things, and of being a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. From verse 10, Paul gives his defense, informing Felix that none of these things are true, and the accusers can't even prove these things. He then gives a profession of his faith and gives a more accurate account of what happened. In verse 22 of chapter 24, Felix had heard these things, and when he had heard these things, the court case was adjourned until Lysias, the chief captain, would come down and basically tell Felix what was the true situation, and to find out if Paul was telling the truth. And after a few days, Felix, along with Drusilla, had sent for Paul to hear him concerning the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was possibly sent because of the account of Drusilla, because she was a Jewess. She maybe had heard of him, and she maybe was inquisitive. She maybe was certainly out of curiosity that she wanted to hear Paul speak about the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is at this time that we find that we see why God had preserved Paul's life. It was to allow him to preach the gospel to people in high places. It was to help him to preach the gospel to Felix. And later in chapter 26, we find that he preached to King Agrippa. And this King Agrippa was Drusilla's brother. Paul reasoned with Felix, and Drusilla in verse 25 tells us. It simply means that he preached, he exhorted, he disputed everything. He disputed thoroughly to Felix and Drusilla. There was no mixing of his words. There was no holding back, as it were. Paul was clear. Paul was plain. He was straight to the point. It is this outline of the sermon that Paul thought I want to consider in the verse number 25 with you. Certainly Paul would have preached it better than I would have ever will. A greater man than I will ever be. But I believe God has brought it to this to my attention for you. So that's the remaining time that is left. I want us to consider Paul's message to Felix and Drusilla. Paul's message to Felix and Drusilla. We see firstly that Paul preached temperance, verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance and judgment to come. The word for temperance basically means to have self-control. It is especially in relation to continence. That is self-control and moderation sexually. So why did Paul bring this message to Felix and Drusilla? Well, can I say, first of all, it was because of Felix and Drusilla's adultery. Felix and Drusilla had previously been married. Jewish history tells us by the historian of that time, Josephus, that Felix fell in love with Drusilla for her beauty. They probably had met when Felix had got together with her brother, King Agrippa II, Felix had sent, the history tells us that Felix had sent Simon, a Jew, to persuade Drusilla to leave her husband for him. Unfortunately, this act was successful. The reason why Paul brings this temperance up was because God was exposing his sin and exposing their sin. God was revealing that they had committed adultery and they had lusted after each other. Now I stand in this pulpit tonight and I do not know the circumstances of any person here. But the Holy Spirit knows. Does the action of Felix and Drusilla describe what you are doing in this congregation and find yourself in the position that you are in? You either have already have taken somebody else's wife into adultery. Or else you're in the process of taking and planning the whole situation of trying to get your way and to getting the person that you wish. You've been taken up with your sinful lust. You've been taken up with your desires. Taken up and you've committed adultery. You have no temperance. You have no self-control. You're giving yourself over to your sin. The seventh commandment says in Exodus 20 in the verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. It is sin that makes you a sinner. You may say, you're sure I haven't committed adultery. I haven't committed the act of adultery. Well, we've been reading this morning in Matthew 5 in the verse 28, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. God's not only concerned about your actions. God's concerned about your heart, sinner. Concerned about your thought life. The problem doesn't really lie with your actions, but it lies with your desires. That is what lust means. It is your sinful desires and your thoughts that make you sin. James 1 in the verses 14 to 15, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust, that is sinful desire, hath conceived, brought into your mind, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Trust that the Holy Spirit is revealing to you tonight your sin. Trust God is revealing to you the awfulness of your sin in the sight of a holy God. Is God speaking to you tonight? May you feel the terribleness of your sin and the awfulness in it. God will bring you under conviction of sin. You know, we've been talking about it this morning, and I'll say it again. As believers, we dare not grieve the Holy Spirit. Dare not grieve the Holy Spirit with our sinful lusts, and careful what we see and where we go. I believe that not only did Paul bring this message to Felix, because of their adultery, but I wonder if it was because of Felix's idolatry came to his mind. I wonder, was it his idolatry that came to his mind? Felix's idolatry. Being a Roman governor in those days, he would have been taken up with all the business of the affairs of what it would have been to do with Rome and to do with Caesar. He would have been taken up so much with that. Felix would have certainly been indulged in the pleasures of this life, with certainly of all the riches that he would have had. And having the charge of certainly many Roman soldiers in Judea, he certainly no doubt had thought in his mind that he was invincible, that nobody could have touched him. You know, he may have even attended the amphitheater in Caesarea and watched even the gladiatorial games and been taken up with that, with the death of many prisoners and having those prisoners thrown to the lions. The Romans had thousands of gods, thousands of false gods in which they worshipped. It records in the verse 26 that Felix would have not released Paul because he hoped to make money from him. That's what he desired. He had a desire for a love of money. He had no temperance in these things. No self-control. He made them all his gods, basically. You know, you may not bow down to worship a false god of idol, of stone or of wood. But in reality, what you have done is you've taken up with this world, taken up with time and sense. You've set your affections upon this world. You've given yourself over to the earthly pleasures rather than God. You're too busy. Maybe you're living for sport like Felix in the gladiatorial games. Now, sport is not a sin, I might add. I enjoy a bit of sport myself. But when it becomes your whole, consumes you, when it becomes your whole being, when it comes and taken over with you, taken over your life, it's put in the place of God. It's the same with money. Are you taken over with the greed, with money, that you would do anything for it? First commandment, Exodus 20 and verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. There's need for self-control in your life. And only that self-control can be found when your desires are changed by the power of God. When your life is changed by God. No good turning over a new leaf. No good making New Year's resolutions. What you need is regeneration. What you need to be born again, as Nicodemus found out. Needs that life being changed, that heart being changed and transformed. Will you seek first the kingdom of God? Will you seek His righteousness? Set your affections upon the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done. Trust, sinner, that you would realize your sin. Whether it is adultery, or idolatry. Eventually, whatever the case may be, it will bring forth judgment upon your head. Romans 3 and the verse 23, the wages of sin is death. God is displeased with your sin. And if you don't repent of your sin, then you will face the full wrath of God. Hebrews 9 and the verse 27, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. It certainly is a fearful thing to come before a holy God and to stand before Him in judgment unprepared. Even as the scriptures say, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. A fearful thing. And I pray and I plead with you that you will come to Christ. You will see that the judgment is upon your head. But secondly, we see that Paul preached judgment to come in verse 25. And has he reasoned of righteousness, temperance and judgment to come? As Paul presented to Felix and Drusilla their sin, he certainly would have no doubt about it, that he would have shown them their condemnation which they were under as a result of their sin and the crimes that they had committed against God. Felix was the one in whom was going to pass judgment upon Paul. But the great judge of all was going to condemn Felix and Drusilla for their sin to a lost hell forever. Paul would have told them about the judgment to come and even all the details of that judgment that was to come. You know, the word judge has the meaning of making a decision. When you stand before the judge, guilty before God, he has a decision to make. And that's what a judge does. And as a guilty verdict is even pronounced to you too have a decision to make. You have a decision to make. Just like Felix and Drusilla had to make this decision to come to Christ. Either to reject Christ or to receive Him. You have to do the same. You have to decide whether to continue in your sin or whether to face the full wrath of God or to flee from the wrath that is to come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the decision that you have to take tonight as the gospel is presented to you. Before you leave this meeting, you'll either accept Christ or you'll reject Christ. Going outside that door without making a decision is rejecting Christ. It's rejecting the free offer of the mercy of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we look at the original Greek text, we find that the words judgment to come is very emphatic indeed. The judgment to come is something that is surely it's going to happen. It's a reality. It's certainty. 2 Corinthians 5 and the verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Notice the words there, "must all appear before the judgment seat." Everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether it be good or bad. It's even for us, as believers, something searching for us, whether good or bad. While it is, we'll stand before God, we praise God that it won't be counted against us. We have trusted Christ, we are clothed in the righteousness of His blood, then judgment won't be passed upon us because the wrath of God has been placed upon Christ. It will be on judgment day when sin will find the sinner out, will find you out. Numbers 32 and the verse 23, "Behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." You'll be cast into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Christ states in Matthew 13 and verse 42, that sinners shall be cast into a furnace of fire, where there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Revelation 21 and verse 8, we have Christ's words, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death," which is eternal death. In Mark 9 verses 44 and 46, 48, the Savior refers to Isaiah 66 and the verse number 24 in relation to hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. There's also in Luke chapter 16 where we have the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. It is in that passage which it certainly describes what hell is like. In verse 24 of that chapter, the rich man wished that Lazarus would come and dip his finger in water and just to cool his tongue. To cool his tongue. Because he was tormented in the fire. We have hell being described as a place of consciousness of his life on this earth. The rich man felt that. For it says in Luke 16 in the verse 25, it says that the rich man will remember. The rich man will remember. Sinner friend, I say it compassionately with you, that this will be your end. If you don't come to Christ, this will be your destiny. If you don't flee from the wrath to come and flee to Christ, you will even remember this message of the gospel meeting. You will remember all the messages that you've heard, no doubt, in this pulpit, preached faithfully week after week. Memories will flood your mind. I had time to come to Christ, but I didn't. You know, the memories will be like the oil to the flames of hell. And they'll even increase your torment. They will increase. You're so quick to remember, not to remember the Word of God now. So quick to just walk out the door and forget it. You've ever even heard it. Just walked. It's been like water off a duck. But in hell you will remember it. You'll remember every warning that is given to you. Every warning that you have given to not even to come to this place of torment. It was the preaching of Paul on temperance and judgment that Felix trembled. He feared. Read that he was greatly trembled, verse 25, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Felix was afraid. He was terrified. And I hope tonight that the Holy Spirit is terrifying you of that place. The Holy Spirit is putting upon you a godly fear. Not a fear that would be dreadful for you in the sense that there's no hope for you, but a reverential fear for God. You know, this is what we need in our country. We need the fear of God. Back in our communities in which we need the fear of God. Is that not why people around us so much are indulging upon sin? Because people don't fear God enough? Oh, sinner, that you would find Christ tonight. That you would repent and that you would turn from your sin and you would believe the gospel. You know, up to this point there would seem to be no hope for you. No hope even for Felix at this point. And while you're a sinner, you're not capable of to save yourself. Your only hope is by God's grace. Your only hope is by the Holy Spirit applying and this word to your heart, regenerating your soul. Making you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things being passed away and all things becoming new. You know, Paul, in our text, he presents the remedy. In the verse, our third point would be that Paul preached righteousness, verse 25, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, the apostle knows here, there is nothing good in man. He said to himself that he was the chief of sinners. Paul already presented sin to him, presented judgment to Felix, presented the awfulness that there was. Possibly even Paul would have even quoted Psalm 53 in the verse 3. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. He gets them to look away from themselves. Gets them to look away from themselves and even to look to the righteousness that there is in Jesus Christ. What is righteousness? It is a doctrine in which man can be accepted before God. It describes the character of Christ. He is holy. He is incapable of sinning. The Apostle Paul informs Felix and Drusilla that in order for them to be forgiven, given and accepted before God, to be into fellowship with Jesus Christ, they must obtain the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the same with you, dear sinner. It is the same with you that you must turn from your sin. You must take Christ as your Lord and your Saviour. Accept Him. Accept Christ and His offer of mercy. Accept the shed blood to be applied to your life. That shed blood in the place of a sinner. Took the wrath of God that was a sinner's due. If you come to Christ, He will impute to you, He will give to you His righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." You'll be made right in the sight of a holy God. You'll be justified. No longer will you be under the condemnation of God. Romans 8 and 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." You can be saved from sin. You can know that guilt removed. Oh, that you would be granted tonight that faith that is needed to you in order to believe and to be justified in the sight of a holy God. Romans 5 verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." It's all of God's grace. It's all of His grace, infinite grace, unmerited favour, something that we never deserved. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It was after this message that we read that Felix trembled and told him, "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He was too busy to put the matter of salvation. Too busy. And he put the matter of salvation off. Maybe this is your attitude to the gospel. As you have heard the gospel tonight, you don't care. You don't know God really is speaking to you, and you're under conviction of sin, yet you don't want anything to do with it. Possibly the devil is even putting things into your mind and into your head and reasons for you why you shouldn't get right with God. You may be thinking, "Well, I can't just do that job next week. I have a job next week, and if I come to Christ, I wouldn't be able to do that job." No, I believe it is that you enjoy your sin too much. That's the real reason. You're so comfortable in your sin and you enjoy it. You don't want to give it up. Like Felix, and you wish that this would be over, and you say that I don't want to get right with God. I will call for you. I will call for the minister whenever I'm right. Whenever I want to come to Christ, I will come in my time. Friend, you might never get another opportunity. Maybe the last time that you would ever hear the gospel call. Tomorrow you could be lost into a lost eternity, ushered out. You may think you can come to Christ any time you like, but you won't. You will come to Christ when God's calling you. You will come when Christ has appointed to you to speak to you, to strive with you, to call you effectually unto Himself. While Felix did have other opportunities, I trust that you will see your sin. You will see the judgment that is before you, and you will get under the blood. Get to the cross. Get to Jesus. Don't be like Felix and put salvation off and continue in your sin. Don't even be like even King Agrippa in Acts 20:26 and the verse 28 where it said, "Almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian." almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. Those are solemn words. Now, I won't be able to persuade you. My little elocution on all my words will never persuade anyone to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit will. The Holy Spirit does the work. The Holy Spirit can use my words and take them up and use them and apply them to your life. Trust that you will come to Christ and that you will make no delay. Let us pray. Our Father, we do pray that you would speak on with thy word. When the voice of man is silent, that thou still small voice wilt speak on, that thou wilt strive with the sinner, we pray of thee, that, Lord, that they will cry unto thee for salvation. We pray, Lord, that they will give no rest. You will give them no peace. That, Lord, that you would bring them to Christ. Grant the faith that is needed, we ask of thee. We pray, Lord, for these things, for the glory of Christ. Amen.